Good morning, Risen Life. It is a privilege to be here together this morning. Amen. Sometimes I'm there singing, sometimes I'm there playing or leading. And this time I have the privilege to be here with you to open God's Word. And I'm excited to do that. And we're going to be learning from it. Amen. So from that, I'm going to invite you to open your Bible in Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to be there reading this morning, and we're going to do it in this way. I'm going to read verse 1, and you're going to read verse 2. I'm going to read verse 3, and then you're going to read verse 4. So if you have a Bible, grab it, and then if you also can do me a favor, if you are able to stand up, I invite you to do that, and then we're going to read together Proverbs chapter 9. It says this, chapter 9, verse 1. Ready for verse 2, right? Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars.
She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table.
She has sent out her young woman to call from the highest place in the town. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed.
Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight.
Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a weakened man incurs injury.
Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you.
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life.
If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it.
The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. Calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way.
Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And to him who lacks sense, she says.
Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.
But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol.
Lord, thank you for this morning. We're so grateful that we can open your word. Now we pray that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, and that we will be blessed this morning in your name. Later on, read 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4. You will see when God comes to Solomon and asks him, what do you want me to give to you? I'm always thinking, what will be my response? And probably he's not going to answer us the same that we did. He said, I need wisdom. These people that I have is too many. It's a lot of people. I don't know how to get in, how to get out. I need your wisdom. So God gave him wisdom. And this is special because the wisdom that we have been seeing in the chapters 1 to 8 and now the 9, and you keep reading Proverbs, is this type of wisdom that we see. It's a wisdom that God is giving to him. Also, as a father, Solomon is doing what God commanded to his people in Deuteronomy 6. He's teaching his son the fear of God and how to live a righteous life before God. Now, I have been reading, you know, and you need to do to prepare a sermon, this chapter so many times. I have been trying to memorize it so many times. And when I read this, this picture comes to mind. You probably know this. It's close to your house, probably. But you can see here, it's time to make a choice. We have been hearing from the chapters before how King Solomon had been giving the instructions to his son, and for extension for every Israelite there, and for extension for all of us here. It's time to make a choice. And I needed a simple man to model this too, so I found one too. And I will say, don't think that this exhortation is not for you. That's what I put myself there. Because from this beginning, I need to tell you, you need to see you like this simple man that King Solomon is talking, his son. And then in this chapter, you read it with me, and there is like easy division in this chapter. So we see two invitations, one from the Lady Wisdom, and at the end, we see the invitation on the Woman Folly. And in the middle, I would say that this is where Solomon is going to take time to talk to his son and express to him what I would say like is his heart for his son. And he's gonna tell him how to be able to choose between those two invitations. So let's go to the first section, verse 1 to 6. We're gonna see in those invitations three things. Who is inviting, what the invitation is, and also the what it is that implications in accepting that invitation. So if you have your Bible, keep it open there in the first verse, six verses of Proverbs 9. Who is this Lady Wisdom? I need to say something here too. In one of our devotionals at home, one of our kids says, like, I have a question. We have been talking about Lady Wisdom, but you know, who is she really? And I need to say this, we have been not changing our theology, because last week we were seeing that wisdom wasn't the beginning, right? That she was part of. So we're not talking about God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, and Lady Wisdom. No. We are just referring to Lady Wisdom, because what Solomon is going to do here is that he is doing a personification of wisdom. That's a big word. He's doing that. So what he's doing is like helping us with that. It's like something that is inanimate for us to understand that wisdom is there. We can know her. We can hear from her. And also we can receive what wisdom is given to us. So now that we see that that's a personification of wisdom, we can talk about Lady Wisdom. So we can see her character there. And I need to say, Pastor Jared, last week he ended saying, also reminding us that Paul is saying that the wisdom is the personification of Solomon points to Jesus. So every time that we can see wisdom, also we can see wisdom as a, this is another hard word, figure of Christ. So it's pointing to Jesus. So let's see the first verses here. Lady Wisdom character is saying that she's diligent, that she is active, that she is generous. We can see that when we see how she is preparing this banquet. It's saying that she built her house, is ready her house, that she was making it beautiful in those seven columns. And when we see this seven columns on her house, we can bring the idea again from chapter 8, where it's talking about creation. And you know, we can see that what is referring in this is like her house is complete, her house is perfect, her house is beautiful. Other things that we see that Lady Wisdom is doing is that she says there, slaughter her beast. Or he killed her beast. And I will say something for us to understand. She's making food from scratch. And she also is mixing her wine. She's mixing it. She's doing something, this is another big word, exquisite. She's doing something that for her guests, inviting to enjoy everything that she is preparing. So wisdom is something that brings delight to our lives. That's what we can see here. It's something necessary. All of us need that. Just as food is necessary for our body, wisdom is something necessary to our lives. Okay, where are you kids? I need your help here. So this is going to represent this. Do you guys remember your birthday party? You know, when everything is ready, your parents have been working so hard, the decorations are in place. I don't know what you choose for this year, but it's ready there. The cake is ready. The ice cream is ready. What else? Balloons are ready. I mean, kids, put in that image that you're putting in your brain, anything that you want in that party. It's getting, I mean, your favorite food, everything is ready. Mom and dad have been, I can say mom have been preparing everything, and also dad have been helping to decorate. But this is, they are like ready there. And then there's a moment that you see, wow, this is ready. What are we missing? Or who are we missing? Is that a good question? The people, the guest. So this is the picture that we see here. Lady Wisdom is ready. Everything is ready. House is ready. Food is ready. So then is when we see she has sent out her young woman to call from the highest places in town. We're going to see now her invitation. Verse 4 to 6. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Who is she inviting? She's inviting the simplest is there, the one who lacks sense. Who is the simple? Is someone that is easy to persuade, is a naive that reflects overconfidence, inexperience, or immaturity. I would say young and excited for life, but with no experience. Remember I said that we need to put ourselves there, right? As the simple man that is like receiving these invitations. Because we need to recognize that sometimes also we are easy to persuade and feel overconfident. And we can say, I don't need to hear that invitation. This is not for me. So something that we see there is that that invitation, the ones that are receiving, they need to come in. The banquet is for you. It's ready. Everything is available for us. But this is the decision we need to do. We need to make, we need to come in. So this invitation goes beyond simply accepting it. We need to acknowledge our need for it, what she is offering, and knows what it is available for us. I'm just going to bring a little story here quick. So this is something that my dad loves to use also in his sermons, but also he taught this in our house. And he was talking about a man that was a hard worker, that he was working all the time. And then I don't know how he was able to get like a promo of a cruise. And he's like, wow, that sounds good. I will work so hard. And I will make all the things that I can do to be able to take that cruise. This is a good illustration because you remember Solomon is saying you need to seek wisdom as a silver, as a hidden treasures. But he's putting all his effort to find the possibility for him to get the ticket. Well, he get it, he buy it, he put his time ready to go for a cruise of 10 days. But what he was like doing is like in his suitcase, he doesn't put a lot of clothes because he filled that suitcase with cheese and crackers. And then he goes to the cruise. So, you know, he was amazed of everything. I never have been in one. You know, you probably know how those things are. But, you know, the beautiful sights and everything. He's enjoying everything. But when it was time to eat, and they were saying it's time to eat, everybody went to the big restaurants there with all the food and everything. And this guy went to his room, opened the suitcase, and get cheese and crackers. I don't know what type of cheese was, but cheese and crackers. So then he is like, day nine, and he's like, I'm so hungry. I'm just tired for cheese and crackers. I have been enjoying all of this cruise, but you know, eating cheese and crackers is not enough. So he's going and say like, you know, I'm gonna go to that restaurant. I see a lot of delicious food and a lot of different things that I can take. I will go, and then I will pay whatever is needed. So he goes, he's sitting at the table, he called the waiter, and then he said, can I see the menu? And then he's like, sir, we have been seeing you here. Where you have been? I'm sorry, I'm so hungry. Can you give me the menu? And then when he opens the menu, he's like, whoa, this is a lot of good stuff here. But he was like a little confused. And then he calls the guy again and says, like, can you help me here? I see a lot of good things here, but I don't see the price next to it. And he's like, sir, when you got the ticket for the cruise, everything was included. So you have been missing all of these meals that have been provided for you because you didn't know. So this is what we see here. We need to pay attention what Lady Wisdom is offering to us. And when we accept that invitation, there is a lot of good things available for us. Now we see the implications in accepting this invitation. We need to make a decision. It requires for us to be humble. We cannot say, I don't need her instructions. Or you cannot say, you know, I know everything. I don't need wisdom. I don't need what she wants to offer. I'm going to tell you, we will not enter to her house. But also something that this requires is repentance, a change of direction. In that picture that you have now in your mind now, I mean, there is just two directions. That means like you need to choose where you're going to go. And this is what Proverbs 9 it is, right? So if you're going this way, you need to decide to go this way. Who are you going to go here? Like to the left, or to the right? You need to make that decision. So you need to repent on what directions you were going. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the ways of insight. So what it says here that in order to enjoy life, we must abandon our simple ways. And another version says, or also the company of the simple. When I grew up, there was a expression in Spanish that my parents and everybody tell us, like, dime con quién andas y te diré quién eres. I will say it in English for you to get it. It says, tell me who you hang out with, and I will tell you who you are. So sometimes we also need to live our bad influences. And this is for all of us, because you know what? It's easy when we are being influenced. They are not responsible for our actions. I need to say that. But it's easy when we have those influences that are calling us to do, in this case, right? Follow woman folly. It's easy when we have other people that is like, let's do this together. So what it says there is you need to repent the way that you're going. Live even the company of the simple and follow me. This banquet is reminds me in Luke 14, 15 to 24. There is a banquet that is described there by Jesus. And he's saying that a man also prepared this banquet, prepared the house, prepared everything, and then he called everyone that he invited. But then they start giving excuses. They're saying, you know, I can go because I just got a piece of land and I need to go there. I just got a joke of oxen and I need to go see it. I just got married. They were just putting a lot of excuses. And then he talked to the servants and said, go to the streets, kind of like Lady Wisdom, right? Go to the streets and bring everyone that needs, a blind one, the poor, everything. You know, I need to say thank you because this also refers like we were needed of his calling and his inviting us. So he's serving out, bringing them, and they said to him, you know, there is a lot of space. So they are saying, go again and persuade the people to come. Because a lot of people were making excuses to don't accept this invitation. So what I see here is that also Jesus is, through Lady Wisdom, also is inviting us to go through him. Remember, we're saying that wisdom points to Jesus. And this is what we can see. You know, wisdom have been calling in the streets, have been calling in every higher place and everything, and saying, come, I need of this. Now it's time to make a choice. It's ready. So Lady Wisdom, Jesus is inviting us to receive his invitation. Don't make more excuses. So let's go to the middle section. And the only way that you can make the right decision, we're going to see it here, how Solomon is telling his son. Solomon, with wisdom, will tell his son how he will be able to have the right response to the right invitation. Now, he's going to taught his son about two reactions to wisdom. And we see it in verse 7 and 8. This is the rejection. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a weakened man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. He's talking about a scoffer. A scoffer is somebody that doesn't accept any correction, something that according to him, he does not need it. I don't know if you know anyone like that. It's not easy to talk to them, right? You try to, but they don't listen. The wicked man also is referring that. It's not just a bad, it refers to a person guilty of wrongdoing. Listen, even the situation of the conditions where they are is the response of them rejecting Lady Wisdom. And it's interesting that Solomon is putting an imperative there. And this is for us also an advice. He says there, do not reprove them. Why? Because you can get hurt. The other response that we see to wisdom, we see it in verse 8 and 9. And this is acceptance. It says that reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. So we see the two answers to wisdom. And I will say like this. You reject wisdom, and this is what Solomon is saying to his son and to us here. You reject wisdom, you become a scoffer and a wicked man. But at the other hand, if you accept wisdom, you become wise. Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. We need people in our lives that God will continue using to instruct us, to continue teaching, and to also correct us. I'm gonna refer now to our older generation here at church. We need you. We need you. You have been walking with the Lord. If you have an experience with the Lord for so many years, you have been knowing him. There is a lot of things that you have been learning that we, the other generations, need. So let God use your voice to help. Listen, we need to hear instruction from you, from that experience that God is giving you and in his knowledge. We need you. So this is for you. And please help us. Let used by God. Let yourself be used by God. But also, here, I want to point to two important words in verse 9. Instruct and teach. This is also a reminder to us that as parents, it is our responsibility to instruct and teach our children, primarily in the ways of the Lord. And I just have these two verses here, Proverbs 1:8 and 6:20, because we have been saying Solomon is talking to his son, the father is talking to his son, but two times also mentioned the mother. So this is something that as parents we need to do together. So this goes to the children and all of them that are living still in their house. Children, you need the correction, the instruction, and the teaching of your parents. Amen? You need that instruction, you know? And we see Proverbs is a clear example of that. Solomon is instructing his son, and he does it because he loves him. Okay, let's go here to the center of his teaching. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. 14 times the fear of the Lord is mentioned in Proverbs. So that means that it's really important, and also reflects that as the heart of Solomon when he's teaching to his son, the fear of the Lord. But what this means, fear the Lord, it means having respect and awe for who he is. His character. We can see his character here. And he's saying there, knowledge of the Holy One. We were singing this morning about the Holy One that we worship. So this is the fear of the Lord. You want to start right? You need to fear the Lord. You need to know him. So that is the idea and clear idea that you have to have a relationship with God to be able to know him. And this is only through Jesus. John 14, 6 is that no one come to the Father except through me. So what we need to do is helping our kids, helping for us too, you know, but everybody that we share this, we need to have that relationship with God. And this is the most important thing in this message and in Proverbs too. This is where you start. This is where you start, because the definition of wisdom from the world and the wisdom that you can receive from God is different. I would say, I went to the dictionary and I put, what is wisdom? And this is what I got. The quality of having experience, knowledge, and a good judgment. And I was like one of those nights, you know, praying and seeing for this message. And one night, around midnight, this came to my mind. And I just write it on here, based on what we're seeing right now. Wisdom, this is the difference. Wisdom is the capacity, the ability that we receive from God to live a righteous life before him. So Solomon is giving us the fundamental, the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So everything else that you put on top, you know, is going to be well founded because you put your foundation in the fear of the Lord. And let me explain to you what I think in this. We all have a worldview. So everything, every decision we take or everything we do, you know, we have a worldview that help us to do that, you know, with the things that you learn, with the things that you experience, that wisdom that comes to you, you know, like common, you will make decisions. But when you put the Lord first, everything is going to go through him, you know, knowing that he's holy. And then you're going to see this point of view that you will have about life will be righteous. And you will receive from him like a different way to see that the decisions that you need to make, that wisdom is going to come from him because you're putting him first. And then you remember, right, what Jesus is saying. What he's saying, if you hear these words, I will compare to the one that built the house on the rock. So everything else that we can put on top of that, you know, guided by God, is going to be strong because we're fearing God. And that's the beginning of wisdom. Also, we can see that through Jesus, we can get help. These are verses that you can see later on in Hebrews 14:6. We can get wisdom in James 1:5 and also understanding. Those things are available for us. If there is one thing we must teach our children, is the fear of the Lord. And I just want to say thank you to the parents that every Sunday you bring your kids to church. Because that's what my parents did. And you know, is we learn and God used Sunday classes, the sermons, God speak to our lives. But also, I want to invite you, if you have your kids still in your house, to make an altar in your house where you can get together, read the Bible, pray together, and then you will be having those moments where your kids and you are going to praise who God is, and all your family is going to see the awe of God, and everything is going to go then through the fear of the Lord. That's the best thing that we can do. So how we are seeing the best way to make that choice is fearing God, having God in the first place. So now that brings us to the last section. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this section because we spend like 3 Sundays in chapter 5, 6, and 7 saying that what Solomon is telling us, how woman folly, her intention is to destruct our lives, guiding us to the wrong path and to involve us in sin. But we're going to take the time to talk about her character, her invitation, and her implications. So we see here verse 13 now. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. Right? She does nothing. He knows not nothing. So we see here, she's saying she's loud and seductive. And then we have been seeing chapter 5 and 7. 5:3 says that she is the forbidden woman. Chapter 6:24 says that she is the evil woman. He's saying 7:5 that she is the adultery. And the 7:11 is saying that she is rebellious. Man, we have been learning. We don't want to have anything with this, right? And this is something interesting because the word for seductive there in the original is talking about simple-mindedness, and also is saying, talking about that woman folly is simple. It's talking about her condition, her state. So Solomon is saying that she is simple. But the difference is because we see, like we're talking about the simple man. That's different word too. It's close to, but it's different. Because the simple man is easy to be persuaded. So he has a chance to change. Woman folly, she can't. She is simple. And that's what we're seeing here. She is simple. And then something that we see in verse 14, I'm going to go quick here. She sits in the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places on the town. Now we can see the difference. We were seeing at the beginning how Lady Wisdom was working hard, putting that banquet ready for her guests. But also we see here that she's lazy. She's not doing anything. And honestly, I don't want to even go and see what is inside her house. Because if you read with me, the dead are there. I don't even imagine how her house is. You can imagine the other house, right? Beautiful, firm, full of a lot of blessings. I don't know. It's easy for us. If I would tell you between those two, which one you're going to get? It's easy, right? But then once, why Solomon then put this other invitation? And this is what we need to see. She takes a seat on the highest places in town. This is interesting to me when I read it, because looks like she's sitting in the front of her house, but also in a, looks like somebody gave her this seat for her to be able to sit in the higher place. So if we see now, I mean today, and we can see that, people rejecting wisdom, people rejecting God, people following her, their hearts, you know, they're saying, do what you want to do, and all of those things. We see that the world is, we can see easy, the wicked man, we can see this coffer there. So it's kind of like for them, it's fine. There's a place for you. You want to be there? It's fine. But something that we see here in her invitation, she's calling those who pass by. I mean, and those simple ones are going in their normal life, but she's calling them, persuading them. And this is what she offers. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. This is an invitation that copies what Lady Wisdom is doing. And be careful here, everyone, because what happened is also that this is a real invitation, but the woman folly is going to copy that to call our attention. Again, you compare what she offers, she has nothing to offer. But this is the catch, as you guys will say in English. She says sweetness and pleasures. This is a pure temptation for the simple. I just want to ask you a honest question. Don't raise your hands. Don't say amen. How many of you have been tempted this week? Remember, don't raise your hand or don't say amen. See, it's easy, right? I mean, we can say no. I don't want anything with woman folly. I'm following Lady Wisdom. And I see in all the blessings. But the problem is, Solomon is saying she is seductive. And the way that she expressed the things, it really causes something in us that we really want to see what she is given. That's why we can see that this is pure temptation for the simple. We cannot be naive, thinking that this won't affect us. We need to be aware. And I can call here the band to come up. She's looking for you. She's looking for us. And listen, kids, she's looking for you. Young fellows here, she's looking for you. Everyone in this room, she is looking for you. It's not that because you are now choosing wisdom, you're not going to have this problem. You know, she is always going to be there. It just takes from you, if you see those arrows here, it just takes from you to stop walking this way and just come and see the little this way, and you're going to be tempted to go this way. We have a couple sayings that I also translate that in English for you to get that. But one is like, and ask Courtney about this too. One is like, looks can be deceiving. So whatever she is offering, all that pleasure that you are tempted to get, I mean, that is gonna be bad at the end. Other one that I have here is, not all that glitters is gold. We can be deceived, and that's what she does. You know, the implication in accepting her invitation is her house is the way of dead. The dead are there. You don't want to be there. Her guests are in depth of Sheol. She is taken. Lady Wisdom is given to you. She is taken, and she's taken even your life. But I have, this is the beautiful thing about this relationship with Christ that we have. We will be tempted. And the first thing that I want in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13, and I'm finishing here, says verse 12, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So what he's saying, they're like, if you feel that you're strong in this moment, no, Lady Wisdom is wisdom here, you choose. So I'm following Lady Wisdom, and I'm not going to go to woman folly. If you feel that you're strong right now, keep seeking God. Keep following Him. Because listen, the temptation will come. And there is a moment when you will need to decide again if you are going to say yes to the temptation or not. And the other thing says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. This happens to everyone. But this is special. God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. It is sad when we see ourselves falling into temptation or following woman folly. And it's hard when we see a friend that we like, a love, a family member of a close people to us that is on woman folly. This is what we have this morning. We have to choose. And I want to say something here. If you are, because you know we are so many people here, we have different circumstances going through our lives. But if you in this moment have been tempted this week with something, and you are about to do something that you know that is not good, hey, this is the Lord telling, don't listen to woman folly. go to Lady Wisdom, full of Christ. He's going to be with you. He's going to give you the strength. And I will say, if you have been fallen in sin or in temptation, there is a time to say, Lord, forgive me, help me to stand up and to follow you. We need to make a decision. Are we going to follow Lady Wisdom, or are we going to follow Woman Folly? What invitation will you respond today? I will say this in the last thing that I will say. God is giving us His Holy Spirit to guide us in our daily lives. He wants to bless us with the richness of His grace. But in the same way that you can reject or accept wisdom, remember, it's pointed to Jesus. You can reject or accept Jesus. Wisdom points to Jesus. I invite you this morning to choose Jesus, because He wants to bless you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you because we see, Lord, that it's time for us to make a decision. But not just if we want to choose wisdom or folly. The biggest decision here, Lord, is if we're going to choose you, if we're going to be following you. Lord, thank you because we can have a relationship with you, oh God, through Jesus. So I pray for all of us that we will fear you, Lord, that we will fear you to be wise and also to know you, enjoy that relationship that we have with you. Jesus, thank you. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.